Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to One Up, delivered through the AI podcast channel. I am your host as usual, Guy Drinkle. And joining me, as usual again, is Carl. How are you doing, Carl?
Not too bad, Guy. How about yourself?
I'm good. The weather's changing. I had my COVID jab yesterday, so that was something.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, it's on the rosy side, I presume. Not much. I mean, there is some gaming news. That's obviously whilst we're doing a podcast, but yeah, this is probably our aim, this to be our shortest pod ever, because I really don't want to talk about that Bethesda circle jerk thing.
We don't have a topic of the show, so I think given that we might be able to achieve your aim and get it under our previous shortest podcast, I think.
Exactly, which was probably about 7 hours. Here we are. The first bit of news, obviously I alluded to it with the Bethesda circle jerk, but the EU, the whatever the hell the commissions are called, they finally processed Bethesda's, or Xbox's purchase of Bethesda. I mean, you can obviously read the news and we'll react to it.
Yeah, so our first couple of stories are all kind of two parts of a bigger story. The first one comes from Tom Phillips over at Eurogamer. Microsoft confirms some Bethesda games will be full Xbox and PC exclusive. And Tom writes, Microsoft has confirmed that, quote, some new titles, end quote, from Bethesda and parent company ZeniMax Studios will be, quote, exclusive to Xbox and PC, end quote. Quote, this is the next step in building an industry-leading first-party studios team, a commitment we have to our Xbox community, end quote. Xbox boss Phil Spencer wrote today in an Xbox Wire post to mark the historic $7.5 billion deal being finalized. Quote, with the addition of the Bethesda creative teams, gamers should know that Xbox consoles, PC, and Game Pass will be the best place to experience new Bethesda games, including some new titles in the future that will be exclusive to Xbox and PC players, end quote. For the moment, as stated previously, Bethesda and ZeniMax's many game studios will continue to be run as they have until now, despite having a new owner. Quote, it's vitally important that Bethesda continues making games the way it always has, Spencer concluded. We look forward to empowering Bethesda's creative teams to reach even more players around the world, helping make future Bethesda titles the biggest and most popular games in their history. Xbox and Bethesda have long shared a common vision for the future of gaming. Both as fans and as creators, Bethesda understands the potential of Xbox Game Pass, end quote. Quote, now that we're one team, we can start working together on the future ahead. We will have more to share about what's next for our teams later this year, end quote. And you can get that full story over at Eurogamer. And our second story on the same matter Again, comes from from Eurogamer. This time it's from Matt Wales. Phil Spencer says future Bethesda games will be exclusive to platforms where Game Pass exists. So Xbox head Phil Spencer has clarified Microsoft's stance on exclusivity for future Bethesda games, speaking as part of tonight's lengthy Xbox and Bethesda roundtable event. Spencer chose to address the issue directly. Quote, I see it in the community. I listen to the podcast and all the questions, end quote, he said. Quote, so I'm going to try and be as clear as I can because I think it's fair, end quote. Quote, obviously, I can't sit here and say every Bethesda game is exclusive because we know that's not true, end quote, he explained. There's contractual obligations that we're going to see through. We have games that exist on other platforms, and we're going to go and support those games on the platforms they're on. There's communities of players. We love those communities, and we will continue to invest in them. And even in the future, there might be either contractual things or legacy on different platforms that we'll go do, end quote. But if you're an Xbox customer, Spencer continued, the thing I want you to know is this is about delivering great exclusive games for you that ship on platforms where Game Pass exists. And that's our goal. That's why we're doing this. That's the root of this partnership that we're building and the creative capability we'll be able to bring to market for Xbox customers is going to be the best it's ever been for Xbox after we're done here. And you can read the full story over on Eurogamer. So, what are your thoughts on this guy? I mean, what is this the line from Xbox that you would have been expecting? And how kind of are you interpreting what Phil Spencer is saying? Because I personally, and I'll get onto it afterwards, I feel I'm interpreting it a bit differently than other people.
Yeah, it's a strange one, really. I think pretty much what he said, he's trying to pour out Game Pass, which is the Xbox way, which is their business model, because there's no point in challenging Sony at their own game. But they've not really... Again, it's a bit smoke and mirrors. He's not directly came out and said, let Starfield seemingly the next big one. He's not came out and said Starfield will be 100% Xbox exclusive. But he's kind of... I don't even know how to word it. I don't know. Is he trying to sell Game Pass to Sony? Is that what he's going for? I'm not sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if Starfield's still on PlayStation. That's probably how I'd sum that up. I think if Game Pass and that got big enough, I think he'd take it off Sony in a heartbeat. But and I know it's $7.5 billion, but this is Microsoft. They have a lot of monies. But they still need to make that back up. And they'd probably make it back up easily just with Xbox sales and Game Pass subscriptions. But if they want the biggest of returns, Sony's the biggest player base, isn't it? But it's also the fact that it's not just Xbox, it's Microsoft. So there's all the whole, I'm not sure how the size or the scale of the PC player base, but I imagine it must be the biggest. PC must be the biggest out of the lot, surely. Must be.
I'd imagine so.
Yeah. But, I mean, all of them day one Game Pass, yeah, fair enough. But as I say, maybe there's, like, timed exclusivity on them, and then, I don't know, whether it's a year or whatever, but as I said, it still wouldn't surprise me if Starfield's on PlayStation, for example. But maybe like Doom or Wolfenstein or the, for want of a better term, the secondary Bethesda exclusives are exclusive to Xbox, but the big ones is probably where you can go, well, Elder Scrolls is coming out in a month. Do you really want to pay 70, 80 quid /dollars/euro? Or do you want to come to Game Pass where you may get exclusive content, you may get content quicker, and for what, $7 to $12 or $7 to $12 a month, and you can bid it off after a month pretty easily? that's kind of where I see it. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a decent amount of exclusive Bethesda content, but in terms of the, I'd say the three biggest franchises, Skyrim, Fallout, not Skyrim, Elder Scrolls, Fallout, and hopefully Starfield, I reckon that'll be cross-platform. Cross-platform, if I can speak, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have a similar kind of thinking as you, and I'm surprised not more people are having that line. Like, you know, when these quotes came out, obviously the quotes from Phil Spencer in the second story, people seem to take that as a definitive. Well, that's it. All Bethesda games are going to be exclusive to Xbox, or at least most of them are. Now, people seem to be kind of focusing on the line where he, you know, talked about the either contractual things or legacy on different platforms. And for me, that's a big exception that he's input there. But people were kind of writing that off and saying, oh, contractual refers to, like games like Tokyo Ghostwire Tokyo Ghostwire and it's Ghostwire Tokyo and
Deathloop,
of course, yeah, which are obviously contractually coming to PlayStation 5 as timed exclusives. And then that legacy refers to like kind of ongoing games like Elder Scrolls Online, but that everything else from now on will be exclusive to PlayStation. And but to me, what I think that means is legacy means, you know, kind of the bigger series, as you pointed out, you know, your Doom, Fallout, Elder Scrolls. Those series have a base on PlayStation. I know some people try to dismiss that and say, oh, they were on Xbox first. You know, Morrowind was on Xbox, the original Xbox. Oblivion came to 360 before PS3. Fallout 3 had DLC deals with Xbox, you know, and I'm aware of all that. But I think, nonetheless, there's still a legacy for these games. You know, there's been three Fallout titles, four if you count Fallout 76, I suppose, on PlayStation platforms. In fact, also, there was also, technically speaking, there was a Fallout game on a PlayStation platform before there was ever one on an Xbox platform, because Fallout Brotherhood of Steel was on PS2. I actually have a copy of that game. So, you know, technically speaking, you know, if you want to get into the weeds, you could say it has a longer legacy on PlayStation. But nonetheless, you know, I don't think the nitty gritty matters here. I think those three series in particular have a legacy on PlayStation platforms. They're huge series. They're massive sellers, and I don't think Microsoft would want to remove them from another huge platform. Much like Minecraft, you know, they didn't remove Minecraft from other platforms. And even at that, you have Minecraft Dungeons. They could have easily said Minecraft Dungeons is exclusive to Xbox, but they didn't. They still released it on PlayStation. So with that in mind, I'm fully expecting that these bigger series will continue for years to come to launch on PlayStation platforms. As you said, there might be a timed exclusive on some of them or all of them. I don't know, but I think these games will launch on PlayStation. As for lesser games, it's more him and Hong at that point. They might even kind of pick and choose for different titles, you know, when it comes to Wolfenstein and Dishonored, for example. I personally still expect the Wolfenstein games to come to PlayStation, but I wouldn't be shocked if they were suddenly exclusive to Xbox. And I think, of course, newer IPs will come will be exclusive to Xbox. You know, obviously, I think that Indiana Jones game would be probably the first big Bethesda exclusive for Xbox platforms. And I think there will be more to follow. But at the same time, You mentioned Starfield. You expect Starfield to be on PlayStation. And I do too. Like, I fully expect Starfield to be on PlayStation. A lot of people have dismissed that now and said, oh, what Phil Spencer said means Starfield is going to be an exclusive for Xbox. And some people are speculating we might see the game this year and it could be the you know, the first big exclusive for the Xbox. I don't think so. I think that would be one that would fall under the contractual things. If Sony were securing Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo for timed exclusives, you can bet they were securing they apparently made a bid to try and make Starfield a timed exclusive for PlayStation. So I think they will have definitely secured the game on. And I don't know the ins and outs of the industry, but I'm sure like months out, you know, or even years out, most likely, you know, you agree with it. You know, Bethesda would agree with Sony and Microsoft, oh, we're going to launch Starfield on your consoles. So I'm fully expecting to see that game. Could that change with a Starfield 2? I don't know. But we've already seen it with some games. You know, for example, Psychonauts 2 is still coming to PlayStation. You know, so that these deals are in place. So to sum it up, my personal opinion, and I'm pretty, you know, 99.9% confident on this prediction, you know, that Starfield, Elder Scrolls 6, Fallout 5, Doom 3 will all be on PlayStation. As for other Bethesda titles, I couldn't be so confident on that. But for those four major titles, I think will launch on PlayStation at some point. Might be 6 months after Xbox, might be 12 months after Xbox, but they will launch on PlayStation platforms for me.
Yeah, and I think that was Xbox's way, really. I think I can't remember, it feels direct quotes, but it's like all games for all platforms, etc., and stuff like that. But I mean, in terms of the bigger picture, obviously Xbox and Sony are rivals in the gaming sphere, but for Microsoft, not Xbox, for Microsoft, their rivals are Amazon and Apple, etc. So I mean, is this maybe the first step into not a friendly relationship, but maybe a betterment of the gaming sphere? Like, just maybe Amazon, etc., coming into the gaming sphere is a good thing, but maybe it's the old guard against the new, if you kind of get what I mean.
I mean, it's interesting to look at it that way. I recently was listening to a podcast where they were discussing the possibility of Game Pass coming to PlayStation, and one person said that they think Sony would have to be on their last legs for it to happen, but the other said that they were more could you know where didn't think it was that much of an extremity, that there is a situation they could see where we see a version of Game Pass on PlayStation. That being that game, it would be Game Pass minus the third-party titles. It would just be Game Pass with just the Microsoft-published titles on Sony. Because they're not going to have Game Pass, you know, with, you know, X, Y, and Z indie titles for free when
they're selling those. Is it not like 70% publishing fee or something like that?
I'm not too sure on the exact figures on it, but I mean, that would be taking money out of Sony's pocket. But of course, to launch it with just the Microsoft games, Sony get a small slice of the pie. They also get maybe to a bit of maneuvering on deals for example, getting games from Bethesda Studios on PlayStation platforms, that they can do a little negotiating that way. I think that there could be, and I'd agree with that stance, that there could be kind of a mutually beneficial aspects to getting some form of Game Pass on PlayStation Venture. I don't think it'll happen anytime soon, but a couple of years down the road, I could see it. So for me, I think Microsoft will want to remain on good terms with Sony and try to build towards that future. So I just can't see a world in which they take all Bethesda titles away from Sony PlayStation. And I know there's some people, particularly on the Xbox side of things, are saying, well, the deal's pointless if they do that. But it's not. I mean, this is a mountain of studios. They've almost brought as many studios in from Bethesda as they have all together in all their acquisitions to this date. It's almost doubled their studios. So the amount of games and that will be coming from this deal from Bethesda, they could easily have half of the games as exclusives and half of the games coming to PlayStation as well. And they'd still have so many more exclusives than they currently do. So I just don't see the drawback that others seem to see of you know, them allowing some of these games to launch on PlayStation. But I just don't see it. I think they'll treat it more like they've treated Mojang, and you know, we haven't seen Minecraft games exclusive, and I don't think we'll see the major Bethesda games as exclusive. But as I said, lesser titles, definitely I could see them being exclusives. Why wouldn't they be?
Yeah.
But I do think that the larger titles are going to stay as multi-platform.
Yeah, as I say, I mean, Xbox is to sell Game Pass. So, I mean, that is the major selling thing. It's like, we've not cut you off from some of the best and most favourite game franchises in the history of gaming. But would you rather pay $70 or would you rather pay $7 for a month? Because most people, I mean, there are some absolute mental people who will play like Skyrim all their life, which I don't really get. Well, I kind of do because Skyrim is mint, but at the same time, I'd rather go play a different game. But would you rather pay £7, play it for a month, and then you can go back to your favourite console? Because I think the Bethesda purchase, and like, we had our doubts why the Xbox Series S existed, didn't we? But yeah. I think stuff like this is the reason why the Series S existed. Because they're not going to make people swap from PlayStation to Xbox. That's just not going to happen. The PlayStation is too good. They have the best exclusives. Xbox has kind of fixed a few things recently, like the Bluetooth issue I was having probably last pod I discussed. But PlayStation fans are PlayStation fans. But if you're trying to sell a better second console, that's what the Xbox Series S is there for. And if people are that desperate to play Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Doom, Wolfenstein, even Indiana Jones, which may be for older generations, but you can keep spending £70, or you can spend, and quite a lot of these games are a few years off as well. So maybe the S goes down in price in that time. So let's say £200. You can spend £200 on a console and then £7 for each month you want to try something on Xbox. That, I think that's why the S exists. It's to sell Game Pass itself as a secondary console, and basically the S is just a hub of Game Pass. Because if you're a gamer, you don't want the S as your main console. But as a secondary console, like the S is probably competing with the Nintendo Switch more than anything. That's probably the better way to word it, because not many people have the Switch as their main console. They'll probably have a PC or a PS5 or an Xbox. But I think if they whore out Game Pass, which they are all doing, if they just go, well, there's deals here. You can get an S and a year's worth of Game Pass Ultimate for $250 or pound or whatever, and then say, oh, we've got Elder Scrolls 6, 7... whatever we're up to, Fallout 5, Skyfall, what the hell was I going to say there? Starfield, Indiana Jones, and you can play all these for your free trial to Game Pass or $7 a month. And then they will eventually put the Xbox Game Pass price up, because they just will. But if they get enough people in, enough people with a secondary console as an S, I think it's good. It's probably the correct business decision to have it on PlayStation. But as I said, Xbox can't compete with Sony's same business idea. That's why Game Pass exists. Because if it was just console v console, game v game, PlayStation win. But having Game Pass, having the secondary console, cheaper console, it's a way for Xbox to be relevant in, let's be honest, in a very dominated industry for the last gen and a half, probably. Like, Nintendo has its own spot, but in terms of Xbox v PlayStation, PlayStation's battered it since the late 360 PS3 era, hasn't it? So, yeah, I think it's good business to have Bethesda content on PlayStation, but I think you got to reward the Xbox hardcore base by some exclusive content or timed exclusive content at least.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll certainly balance it in some way. And as you said, you know, Game Pass is going to be the main focus, and you know we're already seeing that. We're you know from the off with the Bethesda deal. Obviously, they announced when the deal was finalized that 20 Bethesda games would be coming to Game Pass. There's Dishonored, Dishonored 2, Doom, Doom 2, Doom 64, Doom 3, Doom Eternal, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, Fallout 76, Prey, Rage 2, Morrowind, Oblivion, Skyrim, The Elder Scrolls Online, D.Va Within, Wolfenstein, Wolfenstein the Old Blood, and Wolfenstein Young Blood. So, I mean, that's a massive selection of titles. Although, there are some notable absences. I mean, off the top of my head, there's no Fallout 3. There's no Rage. There's no Doom 2016. There's no Dishonored Death of the Outsider. There's no Wolfenstein 2, The New Colossus. And there's no Evil Within 2, which is... I mean, there's no explanation as to why those particular games are missing.
Has there been on PS Now or anything recently? That's all I could think of.
Not that I'm aware of, although I'm not up to date on the PS Now offering.
That's all I could think of, really.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want to get into the weeds of it even further, like you just wonder why they just don't offer every game that should be playable on the current generation of Xbox consoles, and you could throw Quake 4 and Wolfenstein 2009 into the mix. Now, technically, both those games were published by Activision and were developed by Ravensoft, but I do know that Bethesda re-released Quake 4 later in the 360's life cycle, so I'd imagine they own the rights to both those games. I'd be very shocked if they didn't, so I just don't know why those two games aren't available as well. I know they're not particularly top popular games, but I enjoyed Wolfenstein 2009. But, you know, definitely the other games, you know, Fallout 3 above, and Doom 2016 above all, it's very surprising that they're not there. Now, maybe they just want to trickle them out and just, you know, kind of don't want to blow their load at once. And maybe they'll add one or two of those games each month now for subsequent months. And I mean, no complaints against Game Pass. Obviously, giving you 20 games is massive. And there's a lot of other great games have been added to Game Pass lately. I know Octopath Traveler
has
been added in a few days, which was a surprise that we didn't even know it was coming to Xbox.
No.
And it looks like it's coming there before PlayStation, and it's going to be day and date in Game Pass. So, I mean, Game Pass, it is the best deal in gaming, as we always say. And it's becoming more and more of a deal every day. But it just surprised me that these games were left out. And the only thing, as I said, I could suggest is maybe that it's just they want to trickle some of them out.
Yeah.
What's you watched the round table. Was there any other takes from it other than the 20 games being revealed for Game Pass?
I didn't watch all of it because I am human. And it was very boring, as I keep alluding to. But no, it was, I mean, to put it bluntly, it was a bit of a circle jerk, really. I mean, I think when they go into, can you call it an event? They kind of went in it saying, don't expect news and stuff like that. So maybe I was kind of trying to play poker with them and go, Starfield's going to be at the end. But it just wasn't. But yeah, it was probably a bit long. It could have been like a nicer, quicker, small, humble little video. But yeah, it was what it was, really. bit too long, if anything. But bleh, no real news other than that. There was nice little interviews with from people from Machine Games, ID, or ID, and oh my god, what's the Dishonored one?
Arcane,
that's the one, thank you. But yeah, it was a nice interview from them and talking about how they're hoping to pretty much continue doing good work under Microsoft rather than just Bethesda, so yeah. But no, not really any news, and to be honest, the thing with the Game Pass games, I'm pretty sure most of them have been or were in Game Pass already. Like, I'm fairly sure Fallout 76 was definitely there. I'm pretty sure ESO was. Doom Eternal's already in there. Doom was in there. I'm pretty sure Doom was in there. So, quite a lot of them have already been in Game Pass. So, 20 new games. I'm going to call that a lie. But, I mean, I think if... Just on ESO, and this is kind of the thick of the show, really. I hope ESO maybe not add all the DLC, because they add, like, six monthly big DLCs or big content upgrades. So I kind of hope if they go in Game Pass, which I don't see why not, I think that could be a really good selling point, because I think, didn't they release that ESO is now the biggest MMORPG in the world, is it now? Or biggest player base? I might be wrong in that, but I'm sure they released something around that.
I wouldn't say it's bigger. I mean, nothing's touching...
well, apart from... I don't know, they said something. Warcraft. They said something about... Maybe it was console MMORPG?
Sure, I think World of Warcraft... Classic Edition even has more players probably than Elder Scrolls Online. I do think there's something about Elder Scrolls Online that it's like the fastest growing.
Yeah, there was some record, lines, wasn't yeah. there? I'm not being an obit.
No, there is something about that.
But yeah, I think the last one was Skyrim and stuff like that, but if they had other... I think they've done Elsevier and stuff like that as well. So if they keep adding them, and if they're going Game Pass, that could be a good selling point as well, because it's obviously not just Xbox Game Pass for Xbox. If they add stuff for PC as well, that'll be kind of an underrated part of the market, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, actually. I do wonder about that with as far as DLC goes, you know, like looking at particularly the likes of... you know, Morrowind and Oblivion, and just does I wonder if that includes their DLC. It'll be a real shame if it doesn't, because you know, I think they're a big part of the game. I think, you know, the Shivering Isles and Oblivion is probably the best part of Oblivion. So it'd be interesting to see kind of how it works as far as including the DLC with those games in Game Pass. But it's a nice offering, as we said, you know, on top of what we already get on Game Pass and continue to get. And I mean, you look at the announcements every month, and there might be like 3, 4, maybe 5 games leaving Game Pass, but then there's like 10 plus joining Game Pass. So it's just getting bigger and bigger and better every month. So it's cool now that you get the...
Fallout 76 DLC season Game Pass, but... That's Fallout 76. That's a dead game. So,
yeah. Not many people are too interested in that.
Maybe that's the biggest MMO. probably not. I played it a bit. It was alright. It got better from the dumpster fire it was. But is there anything else? I mean, Bethesda-wise, I don't think there's much we can discuss, really, is there?
No, I mean, I feel at this point we're just kind of waiting now until the inevitable news drop in the summer, where we'll get to see kind of what's next for Bethesda. Maybe that's when we'll finally get the proper reveal for Starfield. Mm-hmm. We know it exists, don't know anything about it beyond that. So that might be the time for that. We might finally see Wolfenstein 3 and whatever some of the other studios are working on. So I think for now they'll probably go quiet. As I said, they might kind of drop one or two more Bethesda games on a monthly basis moving forward, because there are some, you know, some might never come. But, you know, I do think Fallout 3, Doom 2016 and Wolfenstein 2 will come to Game Pass eventually. Mm. I mean, particularly with Wolfenstein 2 and with Dishonored Death of the Outsider, I wonder if that's obviously they released that pack recently, obviously the Dishonored pack, Dishonored / Prey pack, and then
the Wolfenstein
pack. So they maybe think, oh, well, if we include all the games, no one's going to buy the pack. So if we leave a couple out, you know, we'll milk the pack for another couple months and then add those games. So the thinking could be something like that. But I think in terms of larger Bethesda news, I think it'll probably go quiet for the next 2-3 months until they're ready to reveal some new projects in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're not really going to get much from any of them now. We had the two, I'm not even going to call it the circle jerk Bethesda thing an event. We had the two from, well, we had three if you count the Pokemon one. We had them three, didn't we? So we're kind of waiting for E3 tribute week. Let's go with that. Which isn't too far. I mean, what are we? Mid to late March? Couple months, 3 months-ish. But we did kind of have a smaller event. I didn't watch it, but I've watched the two main reveals from it, and that is Square Enix, Carl.
Yeah, so Square Enix presents their digital showcase roundup. Square Enix launched a new live stream event on Thursday called Square Enix Presents, with a 40-minute presentation that showcased what's new and what's next in the publisher's catalog. Here's everything revealed at Square Enix Presents March 2021. First off, Life is Strange True Colors. Life is Strange True Colors will launch September 10th on Google Stadia, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Windows PC, Xbox One, and Xbox Series S and X. The sequel to 2019's Life is Strange 2, True Colors ditches the episodic format and will instead release its full story on the same date. Life is Strange True Colors stars Erica Mori as Alex Chen, a young Asian-American woman with psychic powers who moves to Colorado to discover the truth behind what happened to her estranged brother, Gabe. Life is Strange Remasters. 2015's Life is Strange by Don't Nod Entertainment will be remastered for new consoles, along with a 3-episode prequel, 2017's Life is Strange Before the Storm by Deck 9. Both games will be available in fall of this year and will be bundled in an ultimate edition of Life is Strange True Colors. Project Athia, first announced in June 2020. Project Athia was the working title of the new IP from Luminous Productions. The game now has a title, Forspoken. The action-adventure stars Ella Balinska as the protagonist Frey Holland, facing off against fantastical beasts in an untamed land. Forspoken, as previously announced, launches in 2022 for PlayStation 5 and PC. Outriders, People Can Fly's third-person loot shooter, which launches April 1st and will be available via Xbox Game Pass on the same day, got two new trailers. Balan Wonderland, the 3D platformer coming from former Sega duo director Yuji Naka and artist Naoto Yoshima, which launches on March 26th, received a new trailer. Marvel's Avengers, a new story expansion was announced, War for Wakanda, with a teaser trailer. The expansion sees Black Panther face off against his nemesis, the Vibranium Plunderer Claw. The latest DLC, Operation Hawkeye, Future Imperfect, which launched this week, also got shown off in a trailer highlighting the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X version of Marvel's Avengers. Tomb Raider Definitive Survivor Trilogy. Crystal Dynamics updated fans on what's in the pipeline for the 25-year anniversary celebration of the Tomb Raider franchise. A 3-game Tomb Raider Definitive Survivor Trilogy bundle comprising Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, and Shadow of the Tomb Raider is now available with a limited time discount for $19.99. That's, side note, that's a pretty awesome price for what is a great series of games. So I'd jump on that before it goes back up. Next up, Just Cause Mobile, the mobile adaptation of the popular open world series, which was first announced at the Game Awards 2020, received a new trailer. The game still doesn't have a launch date. Hitman Sniper Assassins, a new mobile title from Square Enix Montreal, the studio behind the Go series of titles, was announced. The title is apparently a working title and will be a follow-up to 2015's Hitman Snipers. And Space Invaders AOR. Square Enix is collaborating on a number of smaller titles with Taito, including new titles in the Darius and Bubble Bobble series, but the highlight of their collaboration is the new augmented reality adaptation of the classic arcade title, which was announced. So that's the roundup. Anything at all jumping out for you there, Guy?
We'll save Outriders till last, because that's obviously the one of the bigger games coming out this year, but one of the only confirmed games, because nothing else is confirmed, really. But Forspoken, or Forspoken, or Project Aphia, formerly known as, it's only... Well, there's a bit of gameplay, wasn't it? But it's mainly a cinematic thing. We were impressed with that when we first saw it, weren't we? And it was the tech demo for Unreal Engine 5, wasn't it? And everyone thought it was a game. So... That looks really good, but my only doubt is it's Square Enix, and I'm not sure I trust Square Enix as much as I used to. Know what I mean? They've had a few duds recently.
Yeah, I mean, what you can say really with them is, you know, there certainly has been a couple of games that were disappointing, but they certainly have a tendency for things to be delayed. I think they've gotten better. And it was a more so kind of previous projects, like obviously Final Fantasy 15 and Kingdom Hearts 3 that came out a long time. It took a long time to come out, but they did come out. And since then, I think, you know, obviously Final Fantasy 7 Remake didn't take quite as long, but now we're all wondering how long it'll be before we see a follow-up. So I certainly understand your apprehension when it comes to the bigger projects from them, but certainly for Spoken, you know, probably is the standout for me as well. I mean, it's an interesting project in that, you know, it's a Japanese studio, but it's Western writers, so that's a weird kind of collaboration that we don't see too often. So I'm really excited to see kind of how that works out, and the game looks beautiful, and in a way, people are kind of looking at Square Enix as Sony's answer to Bethesda, in that obviously Sony don't own Square Enix, but they're making a lot of deals with them. They've got Forspoken, obviously is a timed exclusive, but it's a 2-year timed exclusive, I believe. So at that point, yeah, it may as well be an exclusive, because who's going to sit around? I'm not saying people won't play this game on Xbox, but are people really going to sit around for 2 years to wait to play it? I can't really see too many people doing that. So I think when you're talking 2 years, and I think we've seen that Final Fantasy VII Remake, that the exclusivity on that seems to be longer than people thought, and people are now expecting Final Fantasy 16 to be a similar timed exclusivity. So, you know, when they have kind of huge titles like this for 2 years exclusive, that's massive. You know, they almost may as well have them permanent. So I think it's an interesting approach. But that's not to say that Square Enix is completely in bed with Sony, because they're not. I mean, they make exclusive games for Nintendo, often at least on a timed exclusivity basis. They also seem to be making deals with Microsoft as far as Game Pass goes. We've seen a lot of Final Fantasy titles pop into Game Pass. We're now seeing, obviously, as I mentioned before, Octopath Traveler is going into Game Pass. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not, they're not exclusively partnered with Sony, but Sony seem to be getting the best deals, let's say. So I think, obviously, Forspoken is the first major example of that, obviously following on from Final Fantasy VII Remake, so it'll be really interesting to see kind of how that game shapes up when it comes out next year. You mentioned Outriders. You played the demo. I haven't gotten a chance to do it yet. I've heard good things, but you were a little more tepid on your opinion. I mean, what's your take on that game?
I mean, I haven't sunk loads of hours into the demo, which maybe where the game improved from my perspective, because I literally got onto the bit where you choose your class and then did a little bit. But the game itself, like, I'm not sure how picking a different class can change this much, but the gameplay feels really dated. Like, to me, it felt maybe even Xbox 360-ish. Like, I compared it to oh my god, what's it called? What is it called? The first MMORPG that came on 360 and got it. Defiance. I compared it to like that, but I said that to a couple mates who've played it a bit more than me, and they kind of went, probably not. But from what I've played, I don't think it's going to be this groundbreaking. I think you said maybe compete with Destiny. Obviously, you haven't played it, but maybe it's another Anthem, another False Dawn in that regard. But in that sphere, I think you're kind of hoping at best it can be The Division, because nothing's topping Destiny in this genre. So, yeah, I mean, from what I've played, it's not that interesting to me. I might go simply because there is no other new games coming out that I know of or am interested in. Like, I'm quite looking forward to Octopath Traveler on Xbox, to be honest. But Outriders coming to Game Pass on launch as well. Just simply because it's something to play with my mates, I might give it another go. And once we get in a lobby or whatever, it might be more fun. But from what I've played, a bit meh. Like, I didn't see what was special about it. Like, oh, you pick a class and you've got superpowers. It's like, that's the same as every other game. Every other game. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where you're coming from on that. I mean, we've talked about it many times when it comes to those kind of the games that, in our mind, there's the large piece of the pie which goes to Destiny, there's a small piece of the pie that goes to Division, and there's not really any pie left for anyone else, which is why we've seen, you know, Anthem has been effectively cancelled now in terms of it's not really going to be getting any more major updates, and, you know, Marvel's Avengers is struggling. So it is difficult there, and even Borderlands 3 doesn't seem to. I know that's not exactly one of those games, but it shares a lot of similarities with them, and it hasn't done quite as well as people might have expected. I'm not saying it's failed, but it certainly hasn't done as well as people might have hoped. So I can understand it's tough for Outlanders entering that space, and you know, based on what I've seen, it doesn't seem to do anything too different to what we've seen from other games. I suppose for me personally, it's got its pedigree that is interesting me, in that, you know, I like People Can Fly. You know, I really enjoyed Bulletstorm, and, you know, I know they worked on the Gears of War series, which is near and dear to my heart. So for that reason, you know, I'm willing to kind of give it a try. And I mean, it's on Game Pass, and you may as well try it. But I do gather some people seem to be enjoying it, which is probably more than you could, you know, comparing the reaction to its demo to the reaction of when Anthem's beta launched is night and day. I mean, people were just bashing Anthem's beta to no end.
Maybe the gameplay does improve as soon as you get your class, because that may be the unique selling point of it, but that was also the unique selling point of Anthem. But looking at the Square Enix presents footage, they were going more into the skill tree and stuff like that, weren't they? So maybe as you level up, there's more unique stuff about your character. But I mean, what was there? There's a tank, there's a sniper, there's an assassin. Is there a mage? warlock type person.
I think the pyromancer would be some sort of mage.
Yeah. So as I say, I'll give it a go. I'll give it a go when it comes to Game Pass. But from what I've played, I don't see why I'd play that over the Division or Destiny, to be honest. But other than the fact it's new,
yeah,
obviously.
No.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, it's got something to prove. But it'll be, you know, so far so good in terms of people's reactions. You know, and that's could be just because a lot of people are saying we're in a lull, there's not many games coming out, so that could be why so many people are jumping on this demo. But nonetheless, I mean, any positive for now is something for them to take, and I think Square Enix will maybe be a little relieved, especially given the struggle of Avengers. And speaking of Avengers, I mean, Did you watch the? You said you didn't watch the full showcase. Did you see they've shown of Avengers?
I could have went and watched the Avengers stuff, but Carl, that game is shit. So no.
Well, you've played it, so it's
yes. I bought that game. It's shit. I'm allowed to say it.
It's got to do a lot to pull you back in, I'd imagine. You know, even to try the
maybe Spider-Man on Xbox.
Yeah, that'd be something to see. Mm. That was actually, that seemed to be, funny enough, you mentioned Spider-Man, that seemed to be the talking point after this was, where is Spider-Man? I mean, we had Spider-Man announced as a PlayStation exclusive character, what seems like months and months ago, and we haven't heard anything since. It still doesn't seem to be in the pipeline, which is quite weird. Now, maybe that wouldn't have been something to discuss at a, you know, kind of a show that is aimed at all their fans. Although then again, obviously they're shown off Forspoken, so Something to say you couldn't. But that seems
probably because no one cares.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, I think maybe putting a focus on Black Panther for their next DLC character is a good move. People love Black Panther, obviously particularly topical because of the unfortunate passing of
Chadwick Boseman,
who we would consider Black Panther for us, given his portrayal in the movies. So, I think that's a character that's definitely going to excite people more than Hawkeye did. I mean, no disrespect to Hawkeye, but I mean, a lot of people...
It's Hawkeye!
...weak character to base the DLC
especially around. That the last DLC was Hawkeye's daughter, so they're the exact same heroes. Doesn't really make sense.
Yeah, that's the thing. They had an extended showing of this Hawkeye DLC on playing on, I don't know whether it was PS5 or Xbox Series X. And I mean, I haven't watched gameplay of this game since it first launched. So I'd kind of forgotten about it. And then watching it just seemed really generic to me.
Like, oh, God, yeah. That's the perfect one.
I'm an uber Marvel fan. Mm-hmm. So for me to say that, it says a lot. And I couldn't, it didn't really catch my interest. I mean, I think for me, when I play this game is when Spider-Man has come and the game is 20 euro in a bargain bin that, or maybe even less.
It must be 20 quid by now. I'm going to, whilst you talk, I'm going to see how much it is and then we can guess the price.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's going to take for me though. And if I wasn't the Marvel fan I am and particularly the Spider-Man fan I am, I'm not sure I'd ever play it because it just looks so, so generic. I mean, Anthem looked more interesting and that's saying something. So, I don't know what they do to save this game, what they do to kind of bring it back. And they're trying, they're not giving up on it. They're not doing what EA has done with Anthem by cancelling their plans. They're including, continuing to roll out updates. And obviously they hope that, as they add more characters and the characters people are interested in, that there will be more interest. But for now, I just don't see where that comes from. Mm. Do you have the price ready?
Would you like to guess it?
I'm going to guess £30.
I'll give you that. It's £29.99. And that's for PlayStation 4. And that is... Where is this from? This is from eBay. So...
Yeah, so... Yeah. So it's getting there. I think I've seen it in the mid-20s. Like in terms of pounds in the mid-20s before. It's the lowest I've seen. But, for me, obviously working off euros, 20 euros. So that's maybe about... 70 in pound, that would be kind of the sweet spot for me. That's when I'd pull the trigger. So I'll be waiting a while longer on that. But I just don't see where this game's never going to be as big as they want it to be, that's for sure.
I mean, considering the quiet year in gaming we kind of had. I know we had Last of Us 2, Ghost of Tsushima. Did that come out the same year? Because time is not a thing for me anymore since the pandemic. Ghost of Tsushima and Last of Us 2 came out the same year as Avengers, didn't it?
They did, yeah.
Yes. I wanted to double check because, as I say, time is a construct unfamiliar to me at the minute. So yeah, but I mean, it was never going to beat them in terms of Game of the Year top tier stuff. But in terms of a fun game, a casual game for people, I just don't understand how they can make a Marvel game bad coming off the success of the MCU. Like, and I don't know how we've ended up on this because I was kind of expecting to just blow past it, but how can you make a game where Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, The Hulk, Ms. Marvel, Black Widow, how do you make all them characters feel and play the exact same? Like, how is that possible? Like, there's obviously little differences, like, they have different abilities, but they all feel pretty crap. Like, if I'm playing as Thor, I want to batter the shit out of everything. If I'm playing as the Hulk, I just want to, like, press forward and just murder everything. I want to be stealthy as Black Widow. As Captain America, you kind of want a bit of everything. All of it just feels generic. You said it earlier, generic was the perfect word for it. It was just so disappointing. It should have been the casual game of last year, and it just wasn't.
Yeah, no, I mean, watching the Hawkeye thing, and I felt like at the time when I was having this thought that, maybe I'm nitpicking here, but... Like, I was like, Hawkeye isn't playing like I'd expect Hawkeye to play. Like, I mean, he's leaping around the place. He's moving, like, way too fast. Like, I mean, Hawkeye's a regular human. He's not a superhero. He's not even Captain America. Like, and that's what I thought. I thought, okay, he's not quite zipping around like Quicksilver or something. But he's moving, like, kind of at the, like I'd expect Captain America to move. And there's not many... non-superpowered humans, or if any, that can kind of move as agile as Captain America can, and that's what it seemed like. Captain America jumping around with a bow, and I was just, that just irked me. I was like, no, Hawkeye should be slower. He should be kind of more at a distance. I know he can get up close and personal at times, and we even saw him in the movies with a sword. Obviously, it's Ronan. I know he has that in his locker, but at the same time, he's not got, you know, any kind of enhanced speed or enhanced strength. And, you know, it just, it seemed like he was Captain America. And then that got me thinking, as someone who didn't play the game, I'm like, do all the characters just play like Captain America? Just, you know, just like Iron Man plays like Captain America, but can just shoot laser beams out of his chest, and Spider-Man's going to play like Captain America, but just can shoot webs. I mean, it just seems so, so generic. And so, like, I mean, I just wish they'd focus things, you know, like, and I've gotten into the nitty and gritty of the characters and, you know, focused on the story. I mean, I still think to this day, this game should have been a single player game, and just the complete focus should have been on that aspect. And it's unfortunate that it hasn't. And for that reason, I just can never see it living up to my expectations. And, you know, the funny thing is, if Square were to announce tomorrow, look, we're no longer supporting this game, but we still, like, we're going to support it, but we're not going to bring out major expansions. But we still got this deal with Marvel, and we're going to go back to the drawing board with Crystal and make a Marvel game that's single player focused, I'd be really excited, because Crystal Dynamics are an amazing studio. I mean, I mentioned earlier how those Tomb Raider games are excellent, and how, you know, I think people should jump on that offer of 20 quid for the three. In fact, it matters a little less in pounds, probably 70 in pound for all three Tomb Raider titles, because they're an amazing studio. They're top notch. But I just think it was because this title wasn't focused is why it's ultimately fallen down, which is unfortunate. But I suppose we'll move on from that, because as you said, you didn't expect we'd be jumping into the weeds on Avengers, especially as you've already ranted plenty about how bad that game is at the time when it first launched. Was there anything else at all from this showing that was notable to you?
No, not really. Not really. As I say, it's Square. To be one, I didn't know that event was on. So they need to advertise better. And two, there's not really anything from Square I could have expected that would really tickle my interest. Like, I mean, unless they're going to announce Final Fantasy for Xbox or something like that, there's not really loads that could have grabbed my attention. Because, as I say, Square's a bit in a downturn, I think. So, yeah, there wasn't really much that could have grabbed me into watching the thing. I mean, I probably would have, just out of boredom, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that before I sum up my thoughts, one thing that was notable to me, and it's something major, but is Hitman Sniper Assassins, because obviously IO left Square and took the Hitman IP with them. So I was just surprised to see another Hitman game coming from Square. Obviously, they're still on good terms with IO, if IO are allowing them to use that license to release another game. So that's interesting in itself. And it's nice to see as well that a studio can leave a publisher and remain on good terms, you know, and that it's not going to be a, you know, kind of a Bungie Activision situation where Bungie are blaming Activision, maybe not in public, but behind the scenes, for kind of the failings of you know, Destiny, for example, the places in which it fell down. So it's nice to see that. But I mean, obviously this showing was very much Western focused. You know, obviously Forspoken is developed by a Japanese studio, but it's a Western game. You know, it's written by Western writers. Obviously, Space Invaders again, and is a Japanese title, but Space Invaders is huge worldwide. So this seemed to be a showing that was aimed at the Western side of things. You know, we weren't getting Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest or any of the other RPGs. And I think we kind of know what's happening in those series at the moment. You know, we know what's happening with Final Fantasy. We know about Final Fantasy 16. We know about 7 Remake. You know, we know they're remaking a lot of their older titles like the Mana and Saga series. You know, so I think they're kind of out in the open on those titles. So the Japanese side of things is there. So I think it probably was the Western side that needed a bit more clarity, but at the same time, I'm not sure they've shown much. We still don't know what the next Tomb Raider game is, for example, and Deus Ex is still seemingly dead.
So, yeah, that's true.
You know, it might be a while before we see more, but they have already. They said at the end of the showcase they'll have another showcase in the summer, so probably around E3 time. So we probably won't have to wait too long to maybe see what's going on with some of these series. But it's just cool that a lot of these companies now are kind of saying that they don't need an E3. You know, they don't need a platform. They can make their own platform, and they can make their announcements when they have announcements ready to go. And that's probably the best way, because then things aren't forced.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think it must have been a few E3s ago. Didn't Square literally put all their announcements either on Xbox's or Sony's put on stage? And then they did their own show and everyone was like, well, that was shit. So yeah,
that did happen. So
yeah,
that was a bit of a mess. So I think this is probably a better way of going about things.
Exactly.
But no, it'll be interesting to see kind of what Square have to come. And what, as you said, alluded to earlier, what companies in general have to show when we get to kind of that reveal season, as we like to call it. But moving on, we do have one last story, which is Play at Home 2021 announcements. So Sony kicked off its new offering from its Play at Home initiative with Insomniac Games Ratchet & Clank, the 2016 reboot of the popular series, which is available to download free until March 31st. The PlayStation blog has announced the next offering of titles through the initiative. From March 25th to April 22nd, the following titles will be available to download for free. You've got Abzu from Giant Squid, Enter the Gungeon from Dodge Roll, Subnautica from Unknown Worlds Entertainment, Res Infinite from United Game Artists, The Witness from Tekla Inc., Astrobot Rescue Mission from Team Asobi, Moss from Polyarch, and Thumper from Drool. And the cherry on top would be Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition, which will be available from April 20th through May 15th. Anything jumping out to you there, Guy?
I mean, obviously Horizon's the big one, isn't it, really, for everyone? Ratchet and Clank obviously have its fan base, but in terms of the listed free ones, I don't think I've played any of them, but a couple of my mates have played Subnautica, and they really like it. Like, it again, it's a Game Pass game that they've played it, they've really enjoyed it. So, if you're looking for a survival game that's kind of set underwater, I'd recommend that. I need to try it out myself, actually. So yeah, Subnautica out with that list, but I mean, Horizon. Again, not my cup of tea. If I could be asked, and I wasn't such an Xbox quim, I'd probably go back and finish it. But yeah, that they're the two I'd probably pick out. Any other list for you?
Well, I mean, personally, on my end, obviously, I Ratchet and Clank I already got from PS Plus. The Witness, same, was on PS Plus, and I own Abzu, Subnautica, and Horizon Zero Dawn Complete Edition. You know, Enter the Gungeon is probably the pick out for me in terms of something that I like to mess around with. And I have been hemming and hawing about kind of PSVR and keeping an eye on PSVR's pricing. You know, right now it's a little bit on the expensive side for my liking, but it does tend to drop prices notably when different stores do their sales. So that's something I'm going to keep an eye on, and you know, I could be tempted to pick one up. And when I do, obviously having Astrobot Rescue Mission and Moss, which are kind of two of the games that come up time and time again when people talk about the best titles on PSVR. I think generally it's those two and Beat Saber are kind of the top three, you know, the big three, the three you have to play. So it'd be pretty cool to have them available. I really enjoyed Astrobot's Playroom recently on the PS5, and I'll get to obviously when we talk about what we've been playing. So I think they're notable games, particularly, you know, if you already own a PSVR, you're interested in PSVR. But the fact that Sony are giving us 10 free games for absolutely nothing, it's nothing to do with any kind of subscription or anything like that. You know, you're getting these 10 games over the next 8 weeks is pretty notable.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, obviously, I think we did it. Did we do on the last show the new VR crack?
They're talking about the PSVR 2?
Yeah.
And the future PSVR? Yeah, we talked about it then, yeah.
I mean, there was a thing on Xbox when they accidentally linked or tweeted like a picture, or there might have been a software glitch that said Xbox now supporting a VR or something like that, but they seem to deny it. I'll say a gimmick, but I think it does have its place. I would try it, and I'd probably enjoy it, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I've still not gotten the chance to play one, because I mean the only person I know who has one is my friend's nephew. None of my friends have invested in VR, but I've heard great things, and that, you know, obviously PSVR is limited in comparison to other VR headsets, but it's still a lot of fun, and you know there's people have said kind of the real joy lies in like kind of the shorter experiences, you know, like your Batman Arkham VR and the like. So I am really intrigued to try one of those. But as I think I was talking about on the last show when we were talking about PSVR 2, it's always been kind of space for me. You know, I don't have much space where I currently am, so playing PSVR wouldn't be the most comfortable thing. But I'm kind of going to be moving in the near future, so the space won't be as much of an issue then. So it'd be certainly something I'll consider, because there is now kind of a collection of games on that platform that I want to try out. And as I said, Astrobot and Moss are certainly among those.
Yeah, exactly. But that's pretty much the end of the show, Carl. I mean, last question, what have you been playing?
So I've been playing a few things lately. Obviously, as we know, as of the last show, I'd recently picked up a PS5. I've now had a bit more time to play with it. So I've been kind of playing a mix of PS5 and PS4 titles on there. I've been playing Control Ultimate Edition. I'm a couple of hours into Control. It's an interesting game. It's got a really weird atmosphere. Have you played it at all, Guy?
No, it's in Game Pass. I was tempted, but
yeah,
it's just, I think one of my mates tried it as well, and he said it's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it yet. Mm. You know, it's a weird game in that sense. I'm not sure if I like it or dislike it yet. Dislike would be harsh, but that it's not my kind of game. I'm still trying to figure it out. But there is a weird atmosphere about it. Like it almost, I suppose there are some horror aspects to the game and to a degree, but I mean, it feels like much more of a horror game than it is to me. I don't know what it is when I'm walking around. I'm kind of on tender hooks. But there's definitely some interesting aspects of it. So I'll certainly be playing more of that. I also picked up a couple of smaller titles on sale. I picked up Oxenfree, which obviously is a kind of a one of those kind of story based choice games. It's a shorter game. I think I'm about halfway through that. It's a nice story. They also, same studio that did After Party, which is obviously that game where you have to outdrink the devil. I think After Party is a better, And obviously, it was their next game, so obviously they're improving with time. But I think Oxenfree is definitely a good game, and I can see why a lot of people enjoyed it. I also picked up Guacamelee 2, which I'm really enjoying because I loved the first Guacamelee. I think it's a great kind of Metroidvania game. And as I said on the show last time, I think when I was talking about playing Carrion, that I'm very bad at 2D games these days, and particularly Metroidvania games can frustrate me, and I can only play them in short spurts. But I like the balance of difficulty on the Guacamelee games. I think they're a lot more kind of friendly to people like me who are crap at 2D games. So that's what I've been playing lately. I feel there's another game, but I'm just not going to think of what it is. How about you, Guy? What have you been playing?
Too much Warzone for my own lack of sanity. What else have I been on? I tried to get back into Wasteland 3 with my mate, but I stopped. Because we stopped playing that because it didn't run too well on my Xbox Series S. And now that we went back on it, having that big break between it, it didn't really help that. So I'm not really feeling that too much. Overwatch is always there or thereabouts. Trying to think what else. I'm sure I played other stuff. I've downloaded a lot of stuff. Like, I went back on Ark for 5 seconds and realised, no, I can't see beer. what else? Sure, I re-downloaded something else yesterday. But yeah, Warzone, FIFA, the works, the usual crack where I'm not really having fun, but you just played it with your mates. So yeah,
the kind of force of habit games.
Yeah, exactly.
We've all been there. Speaking of Game Pass, I got my Xbox set up again. There was kind of a bit of a rejig when the PS5 entered the room and the Xbox One S got moved out. But I've got a back up, so I'm gonna get back on the path to completing Gears of War 4 this weekend. So hopefully I'll be reaching out to you soon, Guy, to get set up some co-op for Gears of War 5.
Exactly. I think I re-downloaded 5, so that, yeah, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. But I'll have to have a look. I think I've been on stuff like Rogue Company. Which is from it's like a tactical shooter from the lads who made Smite. Don't know why I said lads. the publisher, company that made Smite. So yeah, it's a weird one. I'm just kind of waiting for stuff to come out. Like, I've been tempted to buy like Hitman 3 and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been a quiet year for games, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, there hasn't been too much yet. I think Hitman 3 probably is the biggest title so far. It's got the best rep anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where we'll finish up then. Hopefully there's some more news or something else we can talk about, or if you've got any topic ideas, just send them our way. You know our Twitters and stuff by now. But yeah, thank you, Carl, and thank you everyone for listening. Not quite 1 hour 15 I wanted, but so yeah, that's it. Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.